We are standing at the Lincoln Memorial in the spot where Dr. Martin Luther King made that speech that would become part of the fabric of our nation. And imagine this, a handful of Americans literally rubbed shoulders with history that day, standing or sitting near Dr. King. We had a hard time tracking them down, and they had some surprising things to tell us.
August 28, 1963. The 250,000 gathered at the Lincoln Memorial that day knew they'd heard something momentous.
I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
And he started speaking, and it was amazing. It was transformed from a type of perhaps festival atmosphere to almost religious, I suppose.
You couldn't hear a pin drop. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it.
GMA spent months tracking down those who stood beside King as he spoke, witnesses captured by the lens of history. Only a handful are still alive. Gordon Gundrum, then 25 years old, was assigned to protect King that day. That's him standing in the park ranger uniform.
It was like a great symphony. Even to try to describe it today, the hair on the back of my neck stands.
Gundrum says that moment with King opened his eyes to the civil rights movement. He shied away from interviews for decades, but now wants the world to remember what King managed to do with just one speech.
What he did that day, I felt, was very close to God. And when I think of doing good things such as charity, and I think that is a result of the ideas that Dr. King had.
For Charles Jackson, a New Jersey police officer, the assignment to stand watch over King while he spoke was a career highlight he talked about until his death in 1999.
He said, I almost trembled, but he said it was just magic.
Civil rights leader Dr. Dorothy Height recalls being most struck by King's ability to unite both the crowd and a divided nation with a speech that lasted just 15 minutes.
And we all felt as one. He was talking not just about some, but about all.
For Teresa Walker, a former freedom writer, it was King's reference to the dreams he had for his four little children that brought tears to her eyes.
Because I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
Well, it was my dream also. I have four children, and of course every parent, or especially a mother, wants the world and the country to be as good as it can be. But I had no idea it was going to have the impact that it did have.
But imagine this. As we research this story, we learn something brand new, never reported before, that I Have a Dream was almost cut from King's speech.
The I Have a Dream climax was never in the speech, and we just thought it shouldn't be used.
King had given the I Have a Dream speech some 30 times in the months leading up to the March on Washington, and his chief of staff thought he needed new material.
We felt that he had used that climax so many times it become hackneyed and trite.
Dr. Wyatt T. Walker and others stayed up all night on the eve of the march crafting a new dream-free speech. But when King surveyed the crowd, he threw out the new version, deciding instead to talk about his dream.
I was standing by the Washington Monument, and when he said, I have a dream today, I said, all expletive deleted.
What you were suggesting would have altered history.
It just shows how much we didn't know.
And those who share that sliver of history with King say it will be a profound moment of symmetry when Barack Obama takes the stage on the anniversary of a speech that dared to dream about a candidacy like his.
Well, I think Dr. King would be the first to recognize that our country has moved forward.
But I think it's providential.
It just demonstrates that dreams can come true.